speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The song that we just sang, Mansion Over the Hilltop, certainly our goal is to go to heaven, to be able to be in the presence of our God, and to be able to dwell there in that eternal reward. What a beautiful picture God gives us as heaven. And as I think about heaven, though, you and I know, as the Bible teaches us, is that there's one thing that can keep us out of heaven, and that is sin. This morning I want us to talk about overcoming besetting sin. We all have sin in our lives. From time to time, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But the term besetting means that sin, which if it is characteristic in our life, if indeed we are living by that way of living, then we are set off track. We're not able to make it unto eternal heaven. Therefore, how can we overcome besetting sin? My friends, the Bible makes it very clear is that sin is a transgression of the law of our God. If you go to the original language, the Greek word for sin is harmartina. Literally, that means to miss the mark. And what God shows us in telling us this, or giving us this language, is that He has given us a mark of which we are to aim at and to shoot at each and every day with our lives. As a man would take a bow and arrow and to shoot at the bullseye, we are to do that with our lives, realizing is that the mark that God gives us in Christ is the mark of perfection, and we are to do everything that we can to take proper aim and to make sure that we are patient as we release the arrow, if you would, in our lives, to see that we are able to walk in accordance to God's will. As you and I think of sin, a lot of times we think of sin from the world standpoint. And what I mean by that is that we look at sin and we say, murder is sin. And it is. We look at sin and we say, adultery is sin, which it is. We look at people who have a sexual relationship outside of marriage, and that is sin. Certainly so. We look at homosexuality, which is also a part of our bulletin article this morning, and we say, that is sin. And it is. And we look at those sins and we say, well, those are the big sins in life, and those are the ones that get you in trouble. My friends, I tell you today is that any sin that is consistently in our lives will indeed get us in trouble. Sin that is unrepented of will ruin our relationship with our God. Whenever we think of sin, certainly those things that I've mentioned constitute sin, but what about if an individual lies? I know we live in a world today where the people say, well, it was only a little white lie. There's two things that we need to think about, little lie and white lie, meaning as if it's not as big as if I had told a big old whopper. And friends, that lie in the sight of God is a lie, and that lie is also constituted a sin. We might also speak badly about someone, either to the face or behind their back. We might have this begrudging feeling of people. We may have this feeling that I don't want to be around brother or sister so-and-so, or I don't want to be around this person or that person. And if they're living a life of sin, by all means, we shouldn't be around them. But yet at the same time, if we just harbor these feelings of hatred, that is sin in the sight of our God. As you go to the New Testament and Old Testament Scripture alike, we find is that sin in the sight of God is a transgression of His law. Well, what does that mean? It means that we go beyond the law of God, or we do not go as far as what God commands us to go in regard to the things that He gives us, that He commands us to do in and throughout the course of our life. Literally, it means that we violate the law of God. We can do that in life. And whenever we do that in life, if indeed we are violating the laws of the land, and those laws do not go against the law of God, we also violate the law of God, and therefore that constitutes sin in the sight of God. Also, though, whenever it comes directly from the Word of God, if we do things that God tells us not to do, or we don't do things that God tells us to do, that is a transgression of the law of God, and therefore it is the equivalent of what the Bible defines as missing the mark or sin. My friends, the Bible makes it very clear that sin is committed by each accountable person. I personally put that in there, accountable person, because there are some who are not accountable unto our God. They may have a mental illness of which they were born with. They may have some sort of a handicap that hinders them from being accountable to God, and therefore they are not charged with sin in the sight of our God. Also, though, I want to factor into this equation is that children, young children especially, I do not believe that they are held accountable for things that they do wrong. Are they doing things that are wrong? Absolutely. And that's a part of the learning process, even as God defines those things. And therefore, these children are still seen as safe in the sight of God until they reach a point, not an age, but a point of accountability. And after we reach this point of accountability, every single one of us must stand before God in the day of judgment and give an account of the sin that we commit in our lives. Friends, what God shows us in regard to sin, He defines not only what sin is, but He also shows in the context, especially in the New Testament Scripture, that the seriousness of sin and that serious factor of sin identifies as that it separates us in our relationship with God. I would trust today that if I, in standing before you, were to ask, how many of us in here today want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. All of us would raise our hands. Why? Because in reading and studying the Bible, we come to understand that there is a God in heaven, and that this God loves us, and that God gave His Son for us. And then in regard to that, we, in response for our love for God, we've been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And we know, as children of God, that which God has prepared for us in heaven is far greater than anything that we will ever be able to see or experience in this life. And therefore, we want to go to heaven. And as I began this morning, there's one thing standing between us and God, standing between us and being able to go to heaven, and that is sin. Sin separates us from God. God told Israel in the words of Isaiah, in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and verse 2, is that their transgression, their rebellion against God, their deliberate sin that they allowed to be in their lives, it hid God's face from them. So much so is that God punished them with captivity, and God continually rebuked them through the words of the prophets until they repented and came back unto our God. The same is true then whenever we come into the New Testament Scripture. Israel's, because of their sin, was not able to be in a relationship with God. In the New Testament Scripture, we learn in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Whenever Paul says to those at Rome, and I might say also this is applicable for us today, whenever Paul was writing to those at Rome and he says that the wages of sin is death, I believe that what he is saying from that context is that sin is the equivalent of spiritual death, meaning that we lose our relationship with God. We're no longer seen as alive in our relationship with our God. From the context of Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through verse 21, in that context, Paul, in writing about those who will and those who will not inherit eternal salvation, he mentions some very direct, explicit sins that man can commit in life. And because he mentions and lists some things there, some people have gone back and said, well, I don't commit those things, and therefore, those are the big things, evidently, that will keep me out of heaven. And as long as I don't do those things, I'm okay. Friends, I want to draw our attention to the way in which Paul sums that up in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21. And he says, and in such like. That in such like means anything and everything that you and I might say or do that would constitute sin in the sight of our God can, and indeed does if we do not take care of it, separate us from our Creator. And therefore, as I've already said, we need to make sure that in our lives is that we understand that this sin must be removed in order for us to have eternal salvation. Well, how can we have our sins removed? The Bible shows us in great detail as to how we're able to have our sins remitted. In fact, Jesus Christ is our means of reconciliation with God. The idea with reference to reconciliation literally means is that we are able to be brought back into a relationship with our God. The Bible makes it clear in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, as well as verse 11, is that this reconciliation possibility, this reconciliation opportunity comes only because of what God wants with us and what God has done for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. As you read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul goes on to identify is that we rejoice because of the fact that we have this reconciliation with God in Christ. I find it interesting, though, as you read and study from Paul's words to those at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through verse 21, he says that we not only have been reconciled to God, but also we've been given a ministry of reconciliation and words of reconciliation. It's through those words of reconciliation that we come to understand the will of God, and that leads us unto obedience to Christ. Yet at the same time, the idea that we have a ministry of reconciliation, I believe in part, tells us is that we have a huge responsibility not only to live right, but to urge others in like figure to live their lives right. And I make that assumption based off of what Paul says, going back a few verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, where he says that all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And therefore, Paul says, I go diligently, if you would, trying to persuade men, knowing the wrath of God. My friends, in like figure, God shows us is that forgiveness comes by obeying Christ in baptism. Obeying Christ in baptism is where that we understand is that God requires mankind to surrender ourselves, to submit ourselves unto Him, unto His will, to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. You and I know that that's not a popular doctrine in the world today. And in fact, I have entered into discussions even this last week with individuals who did not believe that baptism is essential for salvation, but yet at the same time, time after time after time, Mark 16 and verse 16, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts 22 and verse 16, 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 20 and 21, we know that the Bible says that baptism does save us, and that it's in baptism that we contact the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, wherein, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, we are able to be redeemed back into a relationship with God. As Christians, what a blessing we have. As Christians, we are told that as long as we walk in the light as He is in the light, we are able to maintain fellowship with our God. Why do we want fellowship with God? Fellowship with God, according to the original language, means that we have this in common with God. It means that we are in a relationship with God. And therefore, as long as we walk in the light, and walking in the light literally refers to that we are doing everything that we can each and every day to apply the standards of God's will to our lives. As long as we're walking in the light, we maintain fellowship with God. And how are we able to accomplish that? If you go to the context of 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through verse 10, he says, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing it is, amen, to know that in regard to the matter, not only can we be forgiven when we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, but as long as we strive each and every day to do what God commands us to do and to confess our faults before God, is that we can continue to live as children of God and to have this hope. But my friends, also today I tell you, is that if we do not repent of our sin, if we allow sin to be characteristic in our lives, if we allow ourselves to turn back and to live like the world lives, or to turn back coming out of denominationalism and to go back into those things, the Bible makes it very clear that that sin will separate us once again from our God. Notice what Paul says in regard to this matter in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and verse 2. Having taught them about the grace of God, Paul says, in anticipation of what they were thinking and what they were going to ask, Paul says, what shall we say then? Can we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then note what he says. Absolutely not. Certainly not. How can he who died to sin live any longer therein? And then he goes on to explain in regard to verses 3 through verses 7 that the process of dying to sin is in baptism. And he says that in baptism, we bury the old man and we are raised to walk in newness of life. And if we do not bury the old man, or if we bury the old man and we dig him back up and we become that old man again, God's grace is not going to do anything at all for us. Why? Well, I believe Paul also answers this as you go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. There were some at Galatia who had fallen from grace. Why? In that context, I believe they had turned back to Judaism. In the context of our lives, it's because we would turn aside to any other sin that God identifies will separate us from Him. My friends, there are some questions that I believe merit asking. Number one, do you struggle with sin in your daily life? I'm not asking do you mess up from time to time. I'm not asking, you know, if you mess up from time to time, I realize that that avenue is there for us to go to God and pray to Him. What I'm asking today is that do you struggle with sin in your life every single day? Is it a beast, if you would, that has control of you? Is it something in your life that you know is contrary to the will of God, that constitutes a transgression of the law of God? Do you struggle with that daily? Are you living in sin? This morning also ask, do you find that you question your salvation? Granted, there are some times where that good people, where that faithful Christians, because of their desire to serve God every single day, and they do everything that they possibly can to do that, still at the end of the day they say, I don't think I was good enough. Friends, let me tell you, you're not and I'm not. And if you're doing everything that you possibly can to leave sin behind, if you're doing everything that you can to walk in the light, and you're asking God continually for His forgiveness, trust me, I believe that you're okay with that. But at the same time, if you're living in sin, and you're saying, you know, I have all these things that are amiss in my life, I realize that I say this and that I do that and that I go places that I shouldn't go, and that God's not pleased with that, and therefore I'm struggling with sin in my life and I question my salvation. My friends, God doesn't want us to question our salvation. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, He says, these things I've written that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life. And if we are living a life that God expects us to live, we can know, we must know, because if we do not, we're going to live life in disappointment, as well as in fear, as we would someday stand before Him. What I'm asking in regard to this matter, about sin and struggling with sin and questioning your salvation, do you repeat the same mistakes over and over in your life? I've been there myself. Where that there was a time where that before I started preaching, and before I really and truly embraced the person that God expects us to be as Christians, before I really and truly started digging into the Bible and seeing what God wants us to do and then translating that into my life, before all of that took place, I found myself doing the same things over and over and over and over and over again. And Jesse, I asked myself, why do I do that? I believe the Bible defines those things as besetting sins. In Romans chapter 7, verses 13 and following, Paul says, the things that I know not to do, those are the things that I find myself doing. The things that I know to do, I find myself not doing those things. And therefore, Paul is dealing with these matters in his life, and you may be dealing with these mistakes in your life, and you say, what will happen? Do you truly want to overcome this besetting sin? Do you really and truly want to put those things aside? How can you do that? I believe that Paul deals with and gives us the answers to this success in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through verse 3. As you go to the context of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through verse 1, you'll find, as he says, Therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Understand, as you're going through life, is that you're being watched by everyone. Fellow members of the church, we're looking at you. Maybe we're looking at you if you're living in sin, and we know that. We're looking at you and we're saying, when are they going to get it? Or maybe if you're not living in sin and you're trying to live a life of righteousness, we're looking at you and we're saying, I want to be more like you. Everyone is always looking at someone else, either for an example or they're looking at them and they're looking down on them for the things that they are doing. And therefore, as we consider the fact that other people are always looking at us, that within itself ought to motivate us, should it not, to live better before God? But friends, also from the context of what the Hebrews writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, we need to put aside every sin in our life. Every single sin in our life. We can't just say, well, you know, I've come this far. I've given up drinking. I've given up cursing. I've given up this and I've given up that. But you know, surely to goodness, it's not going to matter if I just hang on to this one little thing. I've given up all these little things, and now just let me hang on to this one. And friends, if you hang on to it, that sin will take you off course, and that sin will lead to even more sin in your life. In regard to the matter, the Hebrews writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and verse 2, also is that we need to run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us. And therefore, we need to view our life in Christ as a marathon, as this amazing race. Tommy can relate with this. As this amazing, lengthy race that is set before us. I say that because Tommy runs half marathons and marathons. This amazing race that has been set before us. And the end prize is heaven. And yet at the same time, we've got to run through life. And you and I know that those of you who are in your teens, you say, well, I'm young. And boy, to look beyond, that's a long time. And those of us who are 50 or 60, 70, 80, we know how long life is because we're either halfway there or we're a little over it. And therefore, we deal with all these things in life. And we understand a lot of times, looking back, is that we say, I wish that I had been a better person. I wish that I had trained more and more. Why? Because where I am now is not where I believe God wants me to be. Where I am now is not where I need to be as a Christian. I know that myself. And a marathon runner will spend his days or her days running and prepping for that long trek, not necessarily to win, as it is to be able to finish. Am I right, Tommy? I know there's times that we leave here between services and Tommy will say, well, I'm going to run 7, 8, 10 miles. And I'm like, you're wearing me out just thinking about it, Tommy. Stop. Every single day of our life, God wants us to run the race that is set before us. And the only way in which we can run with endurance, to be able to run until this life is over, is if we train ourselves, if we educate ourselves, and train ourselves every single day. What will be the motivating factor in being able to overcome besetting sin? Sin that sets us off course. My friends, the context of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He is now seated at the right hand, the throne of God, and I will add, ruling and reigning on high. It's that prize at the end that keeps the marathon runner running. It's that prize at the end that must keep the Christian focused, that must keep the Christian going every single day and putting aside the sins that can indeed and will ensnare or beset us in our goal to be able to go to heaven someday. My friend, if you're here and you're not a Christian, please take advantage of the opportunity that God gives you this very day to confess Christ to be the Son of God, and submit yourself in that confession to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you are here today and you are a Christian, but yet at the same time, you've allowed yourself to live in sin once again, and you realize maybe it's been the lesson, or maybe it's something you've been dealing with all along, and you say, you know, I've struggled with these things, and I understand that I'm separated from God. My friend, you don't have to leave here today like that. We will pray with you and for you, and know that God will forgive you, and that you are set back on the course to once again run, and to run faithful before Him this time.